Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Embracing What Is Real. I'm your host, Helene Lipson. Embracing What's Real is the forum to explore the nature of reality and the impact our current belief systems have on our lives. All of our deep-rooted old beliefs are what many of us use to judge ourselves and our actions. Our current belief systems impact every single choice we make. So when we feed our spirit with new, empowering ideas about the meaning of life, the meaning of our lives change. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Helene Lipson Show on In5D Radio. I'm your host, Helene Lipson. Tonight, we're doing a very special segment called Embracing What's Real. And my very special guests tonight are Laura Magdalene Eisenhower and Mark
Dr. Dream Peebler.
So, first, a little bit about Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. She's been a spiritual advisor for over a decade, channeling the divine Magdalene Sophia energy, and has counseled hundreds of people, leading them to greater insight and sense of purpose. Laura is a galactic historian, global alchemist, cosmic mythologist, and is the great-granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. She is on a profound mission to reveal our true origins connected to the Magdalene and Gaia Sophia energies of love and wisdom, and works to liberate us from the military-industrial complex, the archonic systems, and the false power structures. She's a whistleblower, radio personality, and advocate for seeking of truth. And she's a courageous soul. She's absolutely brilliant, so in the heart, and she's just beautiful inside and out. Also with us today is the powerful Mark Dr. Dream Peebler. As an entrepreneur, humanitarian, holistic healing practitioner, and international speaker, Dr. Dream has over 20 years of experience guiding, mentoring, and empowering students, organizations, and corporations in building, reaching, and sustaining their full potential on all levels. He's traveled to sacred sites all around the world, including locations in Egypt, Cambodia, Japan, China, Russia, the United Kingdom, Greece, Turkey, and all throughout Central and South America. From presenting at Total Solar Eclipse Festivals and Burning Man to his weekly radio broadcast since 2005, Dr. Dream has assisted the journeys of thousands of incredible beings on their path to transformation. Over the last 38 months, Dr. Dream and his band of angels have traveled to over 100 cities and facilitated more than 160 events. That's a lot. And now, without any further ado, let's bring on our special guests. Let's welcome Laura Magdalene Eisenhower and Mark Dr. Dream Peebler. Hello.
Hello. Well, hello there.
Hi. How are you both?
Wonderful.
We're great. Wonderful to have to be on the show. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's always a great thing getting another chance to talk to you both. I just adore you both, and thank you again for coming on the show. So you two have been pretty busy, huh?
Seems that that's our life story right now. But for us, being busy is very energizing and is all about us being in our mission and on our path. So busy is good.
Well, you do have a bunch of events coming up too, don't you?
Yeah, we're well into the summer tour right now, and so it's exciting. We're doing some traveling with our kids also, which is kind of the treat of the summer for us.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I'm following you. I'm going to the same places as you. I'm actually going to Oregon, and I'm actually going to Mount Shasta too. So it's funny. I mean, I'm going to end up at the same places, just not at the same time. But
we'll feel your energy when we get there, so that'll be nice.
I love it. I love it. So, you know, there's actually a variety of things that I wanted to talk to you both about tonight. And I'd like to start by talking about the type of healing, clearing, and reading joint session that the two of you provide together. You are an incredibly powerful team. I know because I've had a session with you both, and it was life-changing. It was life-changing, so I do want to start off talking about it. By the time I was done, first of all, the information, Laura, that you shared with me was spot on, and then at the same exact time, the energy work that Dr. Dream did with me, using stones, using oils, using a copper grid, my whole body was shaking. And again, it really just took me up to the next level. So I want to talk a little bit about your process.
I'll go ahead and get started, and then Laura, you can come in. This has been a real treat for us as we've integrated our lives and our missions to start doing these sessions together, and we call them Dream Team Sessions. And I refer to it as one of the greatest expressions of our love for the collective, because as we work together facilitating an experience for a person, it's we're calling on all of our gifts and our skills and really guiding the experience based on the intention of the participant, of our client. And so Laura gets to do the astrology and tap into her clairvoyant senses, and then also the tarot. And then during the session, I'm working with sound and vibration and essential oils and some other different energetic tools also for the experience that you had.
Yeah, well, it was amazing. And I felt the effects even weeks after, to be honest with you. So it's so powerful. What I think what makes it so powerful, it's a multisensory approach to healing.
Yeah, that's right. It's very, it kind of addresses all levels of one's being. So it's great to utilize these tools, because once we sort of bring up all the stuff, then, you know, Dr. Dream is clearing the energy. We're, you know, able to really integrate it and release, instead of it just being about what the head is, you know, taking on as far as the information. So that's the beautiful part of it. You know, with astrology, we get to identify different imprints and patterns that have been passed down from, you know, archetypes, ancestral patterns, our own sort of, you know, coming to terms with a lot of the societal conditionings and what our true self really is, and finding kind of, you know, where those distortions have taken over the true self and how to release those foreign energies so that one can be really more authentic and more in alignment with their higher guidance rather than, you know, what gets passed down. And so, you know, with the work that Dr. Dream does, the person is able to walk away, you know, feeling the transformation and carrying that with them, rather than just sort of, you know, trying to digest it and work on the way the energy is kind of reacting without having the assistance of clearing, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's exciting. I mean, you offer these sessions when you're in town, right, in the California area.
Yeah, we have a holistic healing practice in Ventura, here in Southern California, just north of Los Angeles. And then it's easy then for us when we go to conferences and do our events and things like that to either do it during the event or take an extra day and have session times available.
That's exciting, because you're going to be speakers at an event that In5D is hosting. We're doing a Return to Atlantis event, and I know you'll be doing this. We'll provide a room and a space for you to provide these sessions, and they're extremely powerful. And, yeah, and, you know, what's exciting is you'd be able to do these kind of healings right at our event, too. So I am so excited you're going to be at our Return to Atlantis event, and that's going to be October 4th through the 6th, right here in Florida, here in Lido Key. And I have a strong feeling that it's extremely important now, like more than ever, that we're coming together with our soul families, which is, you know, kind of why me and Greg Prescott put this event together. you know, coming together in person, in physical form, not just on the internet. First of all, I'd love to hear two things. I'd love to know what is going on that people are having such a strong feeling now that they want to connect with their soul groups and their soul families. And then I'd also love to hear your take about Atlantis.
Right. Well, I'm not sure which one of us wants to take it first, but I guess I'll go ahead. You know, this is just really incredible because when we clear away the negative ego and we move away from a lot of the programmings and conditionings that are all really about, you know, separation and conquer and divide and sort of kind of where there's just a lot of isolation still happening within ourselves and amongst each other, the real, you know, inner calling or just really what the soul is longing for is to really unify. That's really what we're meant to be doing. That's what the global family is all about and what oneness is all about. And to me, that's diversity and harmony. So it's, you know, learning to work together and appreciate all our gifts and what we bring to the table and, you know, connecting the dots and really creating that mandala of energy so that, you know, we can be most effective rather than sort of, you know, adopting a belief system that makes us all the same and makes us sort of, you know, disconnected from our true self, which has happened. And so to revisit the Atlantean energy allows us to sort of look at what happened during that time and what kind of led us down the path to where we are now. And it gives us a chance to kind of rebirth and reset the energy in doing it right, I guess you could say. It's like an opportunity to have a massive transformation of a lot of those memories and a lot of what the cataclysms, you know, did to us as far as a lot of anxiety about, you know, this shift time that we're in. And so I just see it as a profound opportunity to, you know, realign, refocus, and prioritize, you know, what are the most important qualities and what are the missing links to allow us to not repeat some of those things while also embracing and integrating the things that really did work out and that were really, you know, advanced, you know, based on our abilities and our spiritual knowledge. And, you know, during the Atlantean time, technology and certain influences came into the picture that, you know, began those agendas of separation and, you know, some of the misuses of technology when there was a recreation and a reseeding that took place afterwards. And so we were sort of left with a sense of amnesia, you know, forgetting what Lemurian and Atlantean times represented. And so having the focal point on Atlantis is crucial because that is really where a lot of the fragmentation happened and where we get to kind of rediscover that and take our power back so that we don't have to, you know, repeat it. We instead get to take it to a much higher level, which was definitely a potential back then, which we certainly have now with us.
Laura, do you think that that was the Atlantean times? Is that when our DNA was tampered with, and is that when some of our timelines were hijacked?
Well, that's sort of where the beginnings of that happened. Mars and Maldek, which were planets that had life on it, you know, Mars doesn't have life anymore. When Maldek exploded and became a part of the asteroid belt, it also wiped out the life on Mars, and a lot of those souls started to incarnate into Atlantis. And what it did is it created a lot of division between the right and left brain, between the masculine and feminine. A dark power, you know, started to, you know, take hold, which led to the catastrophes. Now, after the catastrophes is when we were taken advantage of, because when the pole shift happened and the Atlantis continent sank, it threw our planet into a 3D vibration, a third dimensional vibration. And it affected our energetics. It actually threw us into a more Neanderthal state. So we ended up getting tampered with and taken advantage of during that time, which was pretty much after Atlantis sank. And that's kind of where, well, actually, you know, what happened was there was a lot of, you know, mini sort of cataclysms, and then there was one big, huge one. And that can be related to the fall of man and, you know, the time of, like, Adam and Eve. And when that final flood happened after that, that was sort of when everything was rebirthed in the timeline that we know it, you know, where we as humans were, you know, somewhat dumbed down. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of frequency senses put in our DNA so that we would not remember our higher self connection and our spiritual abilities. And so that created sort of these artificial timelines. And but the real timeline, of course, is the ascension timeline, where the blossoming of human consciousness would be the result through remembering who we really are and going through a lot of the lessons of duality. But because there's been interferences that were seeded in Atlantean times, you know, there's been implants that have been put in place so that we'd be easily controlled and manipulated to forget the more, I guess, peak energies of what Atlantis represented.
Interesting. You know, I had equated Atlantean times with the misuse of great power, technological power, and other powers, even intuitive powers, psychic powers, all kinds of powers. But the ego and, I guess, material-based, power-based intentions stood in the way and actually caused their demise. And almost, it's almost as though we have a second chance now to learn from what happened in Atlantis. Is that the case?
Yes, because when Mars and Maldek kind of lost life and they started to incarnate into the Atlantean energetic field, it was like the negative ego. And so instead of the unity that produces, you know, the miracle vibration and the Vesica Pisces, where that third energy that's formed is the magical child that produces all sorts of really positive energy, and it's just really the regenerative flow of nature working through us. When there was that division, it sort of birthed this demonic energy, and this is the time where the angelic human was seated, and so this is also the time where the Luciferian rebellion took place, and that's connected to the Mars and Maldek energies that started to incarnate, and it also connects to the reptilians. And so the way to sort of look at it without the complexity is that union produces, you know, the miracle vibration, the regenerative energies that, you know, keep us evolving and keep us stepping up our higher abilities and embracing those higher abilities. But then the division creates sort of that negative ego that causes more separation, and that these agendas and timelines have been feeding into that so that we unconsciously are playing into it and becoming agents of it without realizing it. And that's where, you know, historically we've been seeing, you know, wars, false flags, all sorts of injustices and degradation of our environment, and the misuse of, you know, free energy, turning free energy into a weapon, and where we've seen the planetary body be, you know, abused. And that's all, you know, seeded during that time. But, you know, one can call it the Luciferian Rebellion, or one can call it, you know, the presence of the negative ego and how much that has really run rampant. And this is what we're really healing, and that's why, you know, this conference is so significant.
Oh, that was a great explanation, too. So is the Lemurian more of the feminine and the Atlantean more of the masculine?
Yes. So it acts kind of like a right and left brain. And so when the Mars Maldek energy started to incarnate, that's what created the division. But before that, you know, it's definitely a reflection of the wholeness of the organism Gaia, you know, the right and left brain in harmony, the masculine and feminine in harmony. And, you know, Lemuria and Atlantis really represented that. And then once there was an explosion of Maldek, which was really the Luciferian planet, that's when everything started to change, and the power, the misuse of power created these disasters, which also led to the intervention of a lot of higher races, and also when Sophia morphed into the physical planet to protect our evolution and to allow us to connect to nature, understanding that it's divine and that our planet's multidimensional, and it's unlike any other planet in the cosmos. But it wouldn't have been this way if there wasn't an intervention. So we're dealing with a whole different dynamic than any other planet has really ever, you know, gone through. There was a necessity there, but also a great opportunity and also a big threat. But it's within us to rise above it. It's all within us to overcome these imprints and to get ourselves back by unifying within, finding that sacred union, and then, you know, creating that in our outer relationships, and then creating that in life. And that's the soul family calling that you mentioned that I think we're all feeling in such a powerful way.
You know, I am so happy that you're both going to be speakers at this event, because, Laura, you're so knowledgeable about Atlantis. And Dr. Dream, it's so important. My message, it was so important, right on the land of where Atlantis was at that time. I mean, this beach that we're going to be on is 99% crystal sand, never gets hot. It never gets hot in the sun. And this is actually said to be parts of the remains of Atlantis. And so for you to be able to do a galactivation, here we're going to be doing this at the new moon, right there on this land, with everybody all together, right out on the beach, it's going to be, an experience of a lifetime.
Really just feeling everything line up for this event, and just hats off to you and your team for for pulling this all together. And it is really exciting to do a Galactivation at an event that's about Atlantis. The Galactivations are so much about people remembering how powerful they are and the responsibility that goes along with that and how that really works and what that allows to really bring up and blossom within a person, you know, with the right energies around it all. And so it's very focusing and the new moon and everything. I mean, just incredibly exciting to be able to do this.
It sure is. It's going to be incredibly exciting to be there. So I know I want to switch gears for a second, too, because, Laura, when we were talking a little while ago, too, about Atlantis, we were talking a little bit about false timelines. And I want to ask for some clarification on how false timelines could be inserted into our reality.
Well, a lot of it is technologically based. You know, 26,000 years ago, there was something put in place called the Nephilim Reversal Grid. People like Lisa Renee talk about this a lot. Ashiana Dean, you know, talks about it. They actually call it two different things, but it's I think she says it's the noetic crystal sort of grid manipulation. And what it's trying to do is put everything in sort of a reverse spin, the Merkaba body in a reverse spin, so that we're creating an inversion and a descension rather than an ascension. And you know, basically what artificial timelines seek to do is to siphon our energy into a false reality so that we're not really in control of ourselves, we're not really living in connection with Source. We are feeding a parasitic system that needs us to stay alive, and so it's sort of this really dysfunctional relationship that we sort of buy into. But, of course, it's not based on nature. It's based on a lot of intrusion, mind control, social engineering, a lot of distortions of the masculine and feminine. And so when we buy into it, it's like we've sunk it into our own negative ego, and we don't care to really look outside of it. And actually, when we do, we can feel a lot of backlash. You know, a lot of people who try and wake up or are trying to seek truth, you know, feel sort of inhibited or almost repelled by it and almost shun it because there's something in them that's saying, this is not how I was programmed. This is not what I was taught. This is not what our history books was showing us. It's all about either, you know, religion or atheism or, you know, something about the extremes of rebellion or compliance and subservience. And what we really need to do is find that middle ground again and find our own inner authority in relation to cosmic law and our own integrity and also our connection to our own sexual energy in a way that's not on a lower level, you know, in a way that's, you know, connected to our spiritual and creative energy. And so the artificial timelines sort of feed us and reward us this other program, you know, that almost seems like, you know, we benefit from it. You know, the more greedy we are, the more materialistic we are, the more rewarded we are, the more, you know, the male stays in the patriarchal mindset, the more validated he is, and the more the women feed into it, the more, you know, maybe propped up as being, you know, goddess like she is. And it's all a distortion. It has nothing to do with the organic nature of who we are and the way the divine masculine and feminine should relate. You know, it's just not deep enough, and it's not really what the roles are. And so these sort of sub-personalities or artificial archetypes are sort of conditioned into us because it's sort of an archetypal imprint that we inherit, similar to inheriting our biological parents' issues. But we don't really notice it because it seems normal, when in actual fact it's an artificial timeline bringing us more and more into enslavement. And so if people could recognize the metaphor of, like, prison planet and not get scared of it, but recognize that it's a product of being stuck in the negative ego, recognize, wow, there is a way out of the prison gates if you expand into your higher consciousness and you don't feed the game and you don't play into it. And so, you know, they're actually trying to siphon nature into this agenda. And this happens when we have lost connection because we're really here to anchor the energies for Gaia and act as her guardians and extensions of her life force. And so when we give our energy and our power to something else, we actually, you know, disable this planetary's body ability to increase its immune system and wipe out, you know, these different things. But this is a multidimensional planet, and it's got far higher Earth energies than this one. So it's not like this is all we're seeing, but it's a test and it's a chance for us to recognize what the detrimental effects are of, you know, moving into this. And so we can see that it's a catalyst, but we can also see that it's a trap. And if we utilize it as a catalyst, it's great for transformation and to help us reawaken. But if we don't recognize that, then that's when we see, you know, maybe, you know, people have friends and family that are immersed in it. You know, we see people that absolutely refuse to open their eyes because they actually think that it's a negative to go against what they've been taught rather than something liberating.
Well, there's a lot of pressure that goes along with going against the grain.
Yeah.
And a lot, I mean, we've been taught to take a look at everything outside of ourselves, and that would be our barometer for whether or not we're doing all right. So I want to ask, too, why was this put in place in the first place? Why are these false timelines? Why such a need to control us?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back into ancient history. You know, we're a free will planet, and it became a planet of duality. And so, you know, we could call it Lucifer, but at the same time, we have to understand that it's an energetic force. You know, we all have access to it. When we're in separation, we kind of create that energy within ourselves. That's when we don't treat our partners great. We don't treat our friends or the planet on the highest level. It's very much self-service. It's all about us, us, us. And we kind of become agents of this agenda without realizing it. You know, we either sign up for it or we, you know, feel victim to it. And the reason for this is that there's, you know, a rebellion. There's a desire for this dark force to play God. The Anunnaki and all these different pantheons that are split aspects of the Godhead don't want to stay in that connection. Instead, they want to compete. They want to be the gods. They are power hungry. Even the demiurge that acts as a veil doesn't want to acknowledge the mother. And it's just very much an immature mindset of a very sort of young evolutionary experience of kind of like, you know, it's very childish. And, you know, the child is also pure beneath all that. It depends on sort of the influences around it, you know, is going to determine how it utilizes energy. And so we all have a choice, seeing ourselves as children, and I like to say have a dysfunctional step-parent, and then we have the true source. And if we relate too much to the dysfunctional step-parent, we either, you know, carry on those imprints or we, you know, connect to what's real. And so, yeah, it's really just a desire to dominate and to play God. And some of those dynamics have to do with things that happened in our ancient history. You know, the first fallen race was the Seraphim, and that connects with Lucifer. The second fallen group were the Elohim and the Watchers that, you know, joined in with Lucifer's rebellion. You know, quite a few fallen angelic realms did that. And, you know, it's just not agreeing with the divine plan and seeing a better way. And so they go sort of the route of evil to lift the veil rather than the route of integrity and goodness, because we've been in sort of this enclosed quarantine for quite a long time, and to break that quarantine, we have to be spiritually developed, but you can also break the quarantine by being, you know, purely evil and taking full, total control over, you know, humanity, which then sort of during harvest time, which is the 2012 period that we're in, creates this whole another dynamic in Earth energy that we could call prison planet or even a lower fourth density planet. It gets really complex, but the best way to really put it is that it's total, you know, rebellion and competition with the Godhead, and a refusal to accept the intervention that's happened, because the intervention happened to help souls return to God or Goddess or Source, and when that intervention happened, it produced an even stronger and more powerful rebellion than the previous manipulations, which were just dark sorcery and just, you know, misuse of power. But because it created a disaster and intervention happened, the next rebellion was all about the technologies, mind control, false flags, social engineering, because, you know, there's absolute anger in these beings who don't want to align with Source. They want to take over, and it's just competition. It's ego. It's just sort of something that needs to play out and that we need to experience so that we can make choices that understand that that's not cosmic law, that's going against the grain. And that's what the agenda is to put us all in that vibration, to sink us all into the reptilian mindset, to put us in, you know, the lower self so that that's easily done. Because they don't want to be liberated or redeemed. And so they use technology to stay immortal. And until they're willing to give that up, they're going to do everything they can. And it's just sort of a twisted mindset. You know, the Lucifer energy was born out of separation when the masculine and feminine began to divide further and further away from themselves. And so unity in sacred marriage is all about bringing that back together. And the sub-personalities or the different aspects of the Godhead that became pantheons, you know, always had that dark element, like Seth, you know, Seth and Osiris, Enki and Enlil, you know, Hades and Zeus. You know, we all of a sudden are dealing with this duality. And so if we don't learn the lessons, we're trapped. And if we do, then we get to restore creation. And so it's a test for us, but there's also another game happening, but we're just as much a part of it as we are, you know, observing it. And so when we take it upon ourselves to do the inner healing, we resolve this. If we keep thinking it's outside of us and we're going to wait for them to sort out their dramas, but it's up to us to sort it out. So it's more just based on free will and duality and the result of it, and the different sort of experiments and curiosities that sort of were born from that. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own, and it's gotten absolutely out of control. And I'll be presenting a lot about that, you know, what happened in Eden and how, you know, this sort of infiltration and takeover took place, and, you know, what it really means for us.
Oh, you have such a wealth of such important information to share with us, and I'm so grateful. And I'm curious, as you were speaking, and I know many of our listeners know that you and Dr. Dream are partners, life partners. And so I want to ask, you know, and being with Laura, too, Dr. Dream, obviously you have a knowingness about all of this. I wanted to know, in your life, too, what point was it that you realized that life was an illusion and not what it seemed, and that we're all part of or caught up in this 3D matrix, or have been until we pull ourselves out? What was your turning point or your knowingness when in your life?
I think from the time I could sense, you know, what was going on in, like, reading my body, things didn't feel right as far as my experience. So I often say that, you know, from the time, you know, from as early as I can remember, I was a searcher. I was really fortunate, and when I was 12 years old, my great aunt and uncle took my brother and myself on a trip through South America for part of a summer, and we went to Machu Picchu. And I would have to say that I had an experience at Machu Picchu at 12 years old that sort of stoked an inner fire of okay, there's something more, and I'm not quite sure where to look for it or where to find it, but I know it's here. And that was the beginning of years of traveling to sacred sites all around the world, and really immersing my – I didn't set out to become a holistic healing practitioner or a speaker or anything else. I really set out to figure out what it was about and to figure out how to heal my own self from the inside out. And it's been a most incredible, magical journey for me that, you know, when I first met Laura, I probably thought that I was a lot more – into and through the journey, then I came to realize after we really focused on what our relationship is about and what we create together, and then again in that process, it was another awakening of I'm not quite as far as I thought I was. There's more to deal with, more to work on. About me, but I think that happens for people when they find that safety and security in relationship. It gives us then permission to clear out, to observe and transmute our deepest stuff. And it's been incredible, not always easy for me, but the most incredible of my life experience is right now, for sure.
No, it's interesting, and what a gift to be able to go to Machu Picchu at age 12, you know, and actually it is in being in relationship too, it's a constant, actually not even just being in relationship, life itself, we're constantly learning and we're constantly growing. Life is just a journey. I mean, I think that we have been told that we're working for a destination. You know, work hard, you know, compromise everything you believe in, because when you're older, when you're 65, when you're this age or down the road, when you get here, then you can rest. So we're kind of programmed to believe that it's a series of destinations when, in fact, it's just one ongoing journey. And that's all there is. And so we just have to be at peace and feel the joy and feel the love all the way through it.
This is what's most interesting for me with the holistic healing practice is you know, really assisting people as they're coming, and particularly this time right now. And I think you asked earlier, you know, what's going on with the energies, what's happening with people, and as we're watching more and more people waking up to what's going on, there's a lot of traps in that process, and you know, it can take people right out of being in the moment and right into the victim of chemtrails and shadow government and this manipulation and that manipulation. And so what you're saying is just such a wonderful reminder that no matter what we find out and no matter what chaos is presented all around us, and I tend to believe it's going to get a whole lot more chaotic than anything we've experienced so far, it's really about us, you know, finding that solid ground and not losing sight of the game or the process. And as soon as we, you know, are in a space where we're not in the moment, if that's because we're worried about our future, worried about what's been done in the past, whatever it is that takes us out of the moment, that's where we start to lose our grip, and that's when we start to lose our bliss and our joy and those moments of happiness. You know, I'm sitting here right now just thinking about what brings up all those emotions for me, and I think to, you know, my daughter Maya and our boys Gavin and Garrick, and just all I have to do is hold Laura's hand, and like all the false world sort of melts around me, and it just allows me to just be in that real moment right there.
It's an interesting thing, like the process of waking up. I know it's not completely pleasant also, even though you can't get lost in it. Like, I remember the realization that 9/11 was an inside job, and I couldn't, that was, you know, a lie a bunch of years ago, but it was like, oh my God, it really is. Oh my God, this is so upsetting. And then I had to take that in, and then I had to sit with it, and then I was okay. And then it was listening to David Icke, I remember, and oh my goodness, the reptilians. Oh my goodness, archons. Oh my goodness. And then it's like, again, you can, and then it's just a challenge not to become feeling powerless about certain things. Take it in, because you have to have this knowingness. You have to know where you stand so that you can almost emancipate yourself from that entire system. And then again, with that feeling of freedom, I mean, freedom comes with knowledge about it. So without obsessing on it, I am very aware of HARP. I am very aware of GMOs. I'm very aware of the fluoride in the water. But how much can I can't think about it all the time or I'm going to be unhappy. I just have to use this and have an understanding and choose good water or choose to eat organic food or food from the right places or understand the barcodes. And I think, I mean, about the learning about it, but it's a process, but it's not necessarily pleasant waking up. I mean, when somebody wakes up, imagine like a whole bunch of light in their face after they've been in the dark sleeping. It's a lot to take.
And what you're saying about choice is the most important part is, you know, and that's, you know, gets us in trouble and gives us everything we need, and that's our free will, and that's the ability to make a choice in the moment. And so we get to choose if all the information is going to put us under to, you know, into an energetic where we can't even function, or we get to choose to raise our vibration to have the impact that we came here to have individually and as the collective. And it's all a choice. And just making that choice to yourself, you don't even have to shout it out to the world, but making that choice and choosing what you feel is best, having to do with the inner knowing and our intuition and our heart, integrated heart-mind space, just allows everything then to unfold in a good way, you know, and it's like it doesn't have to just crush us. The weight of all of this doesn't have to crush us. I get that this is it's reality, but we're here to really impact it. And that's, to me, that's what I love about this experience, is the opportunity to be empowered in the moment.
Oh, I just wanted to add, you know, this is a collective reality that we sort of dreamed into this experience. You know, it's very much still a dream. I mean, we're multidimensional beings, and so everything I see around us that's happened on the planet and that happens every day are metaphors of our consciousness on a collective level. So when we see something like the towers crumble, it's sort of a metaphor of where we are on a collective level, where we've given our power away and where the hidden enemies lie. And so once we can come to terms with it and recognize our creativity and the power we have to shift things, then we can, you know, recognize the power of the human spirit rather than creating the belief that the physical realm is more powerful than our spirit. You know, it's sort of like, okay, we have a choice to either feel beneath the physical things that happen, or we have the choice to recognize that the power of the human spirit is much stronger, because we're dealing with dream warfare. You know, that's what mind control is. It's taking our minds away from what we're already naturally connected to. And once we call that back, we're in our power again, and that's the greatest threat to them. And so all these things are designed to challenge us. If we can see it from the perspective of it being metaphors of what our consciousness on a collective level is showing, and then to take personal action by allowing it to personally shift us within.
Excellent. Excellent. So, you know, we are coming along. We are coming along. And I want to ask, as the solstice, the summer solstice happened June 21st, okay? And I have heard people talk about this being the beginning of a summer of love, or this is that we're experiencing the astrological transits that would represent to us that this is going to be another summer of love. What do you think of that, Laura? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's always the case. We're always going to be dealing with challenging aspects, but they're all really designed to help us to expand and grow. You know, there's the negative light of the zodiac, where the dark polarity of any planet can sort of sink us beneath and connect us with energies that are less than comfortable, or we can go into the higher energies that are all about, you know, transformation and expansion and just embracing the love in the heart. And that's, you know, what's really happening. We've got a lot of Uranus-Pluto squares, and there's also a lot of Saturn and Neptune working well together. So the Uranus-Pluto square would represent a very uncomfortable awakening that sort of shakes our foundation. It sort of blasts us open to what truth is, and it also plunges us into our depths. And, you know, it helps us to be in that vibration of love. And then, you know, if we can harness this correctly and not misunderstand it and become sort of derailed by it, and we can just, you know, move through it and understand that it's Uranus and Pluto are completely and totally about breaking free of these dark agendas and just where we've, you know, bought into it, then we can utilize, you know, Saturn and Neptune, which is the practical world being Saturn, where we need, you know, responsibilities, where we have to meet responsibilities and be somewhat disciplined, and how that's been sabotaged by the false authority structures, you know, where it's, you know, false law. And Neptune, which rules multidimensional awareness and mysticism, but on a lower level, it can mean escapism and addiction. So we have a choice to kind of utilize the higher vibration of any planetary body. And, you know, Uranus and Pluto, though, will help us be uncomfortable enough to see the difference between what's false and what's real and get out of the dark light of the zodiac, which then brings us into that zero-point energy, which is what the shift time is all about. So this summer is going to really be a strong launching pad to connect us into more integration and more wholeness, which is, you know, universal love and expansion. And that keeps us from having to go through the trials and errors of what the planetary bodies are doing. And it helps us to utilize the more positive attributes so that we can, you know, keep stepping higher, even if we have to take two steps back. We recognize that it's all about purging, transforming, not getting stuck. And so this summer, a lot of the different alignments that are happening are totally, you know, the cosmos is just absolutely on our side for this ascension, but there's going to be things that are going to try and convince us that that's not the case, and some people will misunderstand it, and they might get hooked to the, you know, the darker element of the zodiac, which keeps us stuck in the time loop. And so this is why these events are so important, because it helps to encourage people to perceive things in a way that will serve them to get their spirit energy in alignment with their ego, rather than you know, feel the fear and how, you know, humanity is responding to the way the governments choose to work with these planetary alignments, which are always on the darker end. So, you know, the more we step away from that, the more we can embrace the organic flow, you know, just from connecting to the earth with our feet, connecting to the codes and the transmissions coming from the galactic core and from the sun. Because really, you know, this is all happening. Ascension is natural. We just have to align with it and let all those distractions go. And as long as we can do that, it's absolutely the summer of love, the total rebirthing. But the more, we, you know, like we said, you keep looking outside yourself and looking to governments and institutions and other people besides ourselves, you know, that's when that love can be sabotaged and turned to fear. But there's too much of a wave, I think, of awakening right now that it's just going to sweep all sorts of beings along in the positive.
That's so interesting. But I do feel like, just like you said too, people are waking up in droves, aren't they?
I absolutely feel that. You know, people that, you know, used to think I was crazy 2 years ago have apologized to me. And, you know, people are just like, oh, well, I chewed on it for 2 years. And then, you know, this whistleblower and this person has been speaking. And, you know, people want more numbers. And so the more people that they hear the same sort of thing from, the more it's like, okay, you know, people like to go along with trends and what the majority rule is. And that's sort of the tendency of kind of how the programming is. But, you know, the truth movement or whatever you want to call it, and just all the just speaking out against Monsanto and geoengineering and chemtrails. I mean, it's like, you know, people can't call us crazy anymore. In actual fact, I think they're starting to feel crazy for not realizing that something's really wrong here. And they're starting to feel like, whoa, you know, they don't want to feel stupid. So it's like, okay, let's just go along with at least being open. And then from there, you know, everything else sort of pours in. So I'm definitely feeling it. I'm seeing it in the lives of, you know, just many that I used to know that, would have rejected this in a heartbeat that are now embracing it. So I can only kind of gauge it on that. But then, you know, we see just things posted online, just the numbers of people that are stepping out, even though we don't see it in mainstream media. You know, a lot of people are protesting. And I'm not into the battle or the fight, but at least it's getting people to notice that something's wrong. And then instead of going into fear or battle, we can start to look to each other and unite. And I think that's the beauty that comes out of, you know, some of these causes and movements. It's like it's a starting point, not the end point.
Even in our practice here, we're seeing the ripple effect of the awakening process within families. I had a new client last week, a 15-year-old young man, and since that time, I've seen four other people from his family, including his grandmother, his mother, his aunt, and so it's just. It's like everyone's ready, and then when the opportunity shows itself, we had a wonderful session yesterday with a woman and her daughter. Her daughter was just very interested in having her understand what's going on, and so they set up a session, and it was unlike any session we've ever done, and it was as beautiful as any session we've ever done because it was the commitment and dedication of a mother and daughter to understanding each other in these crazy times. And it was a huge step for both of them. And we're just seeing this, you know, we could go on and on and on about stories like this, but it's so beautiful to watch the families now. That's been the you know, what's shown itself so much to me in the last week and a half is our families coming together and realizing that it's not, you know, it's even though that's not our chosen family, people will say, you know, like their chosen family is who they choose in their community and this and that. But now more of an emphasis on, you know, our family of origin and healing what needs to be healed there.
So talk about healing what needs to be healed. And we were talking before about like the summer of love feelings and the transits, and even with all the love, that some fears and some of the shadow parts that are the packets of enslaved energy, even within our bodies, are coming up and coming out. So I want to ask you, too, what are some of the best ways to clear these negative energies as they're coming up?
I feel that you know, the greatest opportunity that we have is to step into our role as the observer in our own lives and to really do that inner journey, okay, to not get caught up in all the distraction outside of us and all the reflections, whatever you want to call it, but to use all of those energies outside of us to assist us in turning within. And it's just that understanding that is available to us now. You know, I've often said that maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it was very simple to sort of sweep our stuff under kind of the etheric carpet in our minds and think that we wouldn't have to deal with it. And what people are realizing is whatever they thought they didn't have to deal with, they actually do need to deal with on some level here. And so just the awareness that that it can be healed, that whatever anyone has gone through can be healed. I mean, there's different processes based on, we get some clients that are dealing with some really extreme things and some that aren't that extreme. And so, you know, one of the things that we did recently, the new moon at the beginning of June, around the beginning of June or whatever it was, we're really big on doing ceremony together and tapping into what's happening planetarily and with the moon and everything, and really working the energies. I just feel like it. I don't want people to get the feeling that it's like this big task and how do they go about healing and all this. It's like, just stop, hold space, be the observer, and know that whatever it is that's in there, with love, understanding, and compassion, we can heal whatever's going on with ourselves or in relation to others.
I also feel we haven't really been encouraged to understand the incredible powers that we have to heal ourselves and to come to terms with some of our past experiences. You know, we're encouraged to, you know, go to the doctor, go on medication, handle our emotional body through, you know, numbing ourselves. And it's just, there's been a real injustice done in our society about how to process and move through stuff. People are handing their power over right and left. They're medicating their children. And, you know, it's important to just own the fact that we're made of the four elements: earth, air, fire, water. We have to honor our emotions. We have to honor our passions, our fire, our anger, our thoughts, you know, our higher guidance, and our earth bodies. And really figure out, amongst all that, what do we value most and what are our boundaries? And to not compromise, not to give that away for some relationship or to be liked or to fit in. You know, really determine, this is what's important for me. These are my standards, and these are my boundaries. This is what I will not accept. This is what I do not want. And then be firm about it, and then look forward to reflecting that and knowing the difference between who's that divine reflection and who isn't, by being in touch with, you know, what that commitment to the self is, you know, and really grounding that and standing strong in that, because then, you know, one is more aligned with the intuition, and the triggers are not so much about reliving the past, but knowing that this person's not safe for me, this person, you know, I can at least hold it at arm's length until I'm inspired to open my heart, you know. And I think people have lost the sense of that command over their own space. You know, they accept the people that come in their lives. They feel that they, you know, can't really say no, or they hide away and they don't want to meet anybody. And these extremes have to come more into unification. And a lot of it is about having seniority over yourself and calling the shots, and then allowing yourself the downtime and maybe not having a whole lot of people around until you're strong enough to greet the world on your terms and in your highest integrity. And that really enables everything else to sort of fall away and get transformed, because the same patterns aren't going to come again and again. And that wound's not going to be ripped open again and again, because you've really just determined within yourself, you know, what enough of enough is enough. And then, you know, everything else can just be that process of going inward and forgiveness and just letting go of the old, recognizing that the real step to move forward is to reset the energy and not look back.
Yeah. That was so well said and so spot on. Now, Laura, Dr. Dream, time is running away with us. So at this point, I'd like to ask you both, is there a closing message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Oh, well, I think the last thing I said was definitely, you know, a strong closing message is just to, you know, own your truth and embrace your passions, follow your heart, recognize that, you know, you are a microcosm of the macro, and your own inner work and coming into balance is going to have a direct effect on everything else, and that's the greatest purpose that we have. And, you know, if there's just a feeling of being lost or not sure of what the path is or what the road ahead is, just to really focus in on, you know, the higher self and what those ideals are, and to commit yourself to that, and commit yourself to the ascension timeline. Commit yourself to everything that's important to you, and leave yourself plenty of room for mistakes. Because the thing is, once you commit, you have room to grow, rather than not committing at all and letting, you know, those mistakes get the best of us. So just determine what you want and what path you want to be on, and firmly, you know, remind yourself and reconfirm day after day, so that reality can reflect it, because that's all it needs. It needs instruction, like a skipper of a ship. It needs to just tell the crew what it needs, and it needs to just be flexible and adaptable to the changing weather as well.
Nice. Back to Dream.
I just think it's so important right now to really tap into the fluid nature of reality, and whatever anyone finds themselves up against, whatever their challenges are, be they spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, whatever it is, that it can all be shifted. It can all be changed. That we didn't come here to just, you know, be crushed under the weight of the experience. We came here to be strong and to be united, and this is the time for us to strengthen whatever within ourselves needs to be strengthened so we can be there for the collective, because this is the time. It's all about service to the collective, service to others, and it's just inviting us all to just step up and be present in this process, and I'm loving it.
Me too. Me too. How empowering, and what a great time I've had speaking with you both. Laura, for our listeners wanting to get in touch with you, what is your email address and your contact information? How can people get a hold of you?
Well, go to my website, cosmicgaiasophia.com, or you can find me on Facebook. All my contact information and all the information about readings is on my website.
Beautiful. And how about you, Dr. Dream?
Well, we have touroflove.com, which has, you know, our events and where we're going. And then we have healthyfamilynow.com, which is our holistic healing practice. And more information about me can be found at drdream.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. It was so much fun to talk to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Can't wait to be there for this amazing event. And, Helene, you do so much good work for so many people. And just we get so inspired watching you and listening to you and looking at your posts and everything that you're putting out there. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you from just the core of who we are for all that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh. Thank you so much. Oh, my God, I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Embracing What is Real on In5D Radio. Next Wednesday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can tune into my interview with Sandra Walter on Cosmic Current, a special monthly segment where I team up with my fabulous co-host, C.J. Miller, to bring you news, events, and wisdom affecting our collective consciousness at this time. For more information about upcoming programs, come see me at my website, www.insightsbyhelene.com. Till we meet again, remember, the sky is the limit, and anything and everything is possible. Namaste.